It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 306. I am your host, Adam Mangum. BYU men's basketball is on a roll, and Matt and I talk about that and whether transfer McKay Cannon, the spark from the last two games, is really worth the hype train that he's building up. Can he be as good as what we thought Nick Emery could be? Also on the show, Taysom, the special teamer, Jamal's 100-yard day, offensive coordinator candidates, and the college football playoff. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this podcast and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Join us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout, and listen to our latest episode right now. Hello, Matt.
Hey.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Living the dream.
I have no doubt of that. Hey,
you should have no doubt.
I have no doubt. So let's just open up with a tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
And if we're going to open up with a tweet bag, let's open up with a Justin Sweeney question.
Sweeney!
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. He says, have you seen Murder on the Orient Express? Very good, he says. Book is better, but still very good. Any movies you can think of that are better than their printed book counterpart? Well, you don't read books, so you're going to have a hard time answering.
I was going to say all of them.
Hashtag tweetbag.
And often the movie is more accurate anyway.
well played, sir. I have not seen Murder on the Orient Express, but I am planning on seeing it.
Can I just say one thing? If you do see Murder on the Orient Express, inform the police immediately.
Boy, you're hilarious.
I know. So you're clever.
You're hilarious. Well, I did see Justice League this weekend.
Yes. What did you think?
I thought it was good. I think the critics are dumb.
I went into that movie expecting it to be really lame, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Friend of the podcast / my other podcast partner, Alan Seawright, did not like it, and he's just wrong.
What's wrong with him? Why be a wet blanket?
It's fun. Is it a great movie? No, it's not like a great movie. I'm not going to like... but I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. Don't think too hard about the plot, and you're fine.
Well, and the other thing, yeah, don't think real hard. But seriously, it's the Justice League. Like, come on.
It was fun.
I thought the Batman was a better... I enjoyed the Batman character better in this one than in Batman versus Superman.
I did as well.
And I think they got real smart about the pecking order of their characters.
I thought so, too. And I thought The Flash was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, The Flash was good.
And Wonder Woman, she was great in her own movie. She was good in this. So it was good. It was good. I mean, the villain is very forgettable, like most of these superhero movies seem to have. Like, we don't take any time getting to know him or his motivations. He's just a bad guy. And... that's CGI'd. So, but I thought it was good. And almost as exciting, actually, maybe even more exciting, was the Avengers Infinity War trailer, Matt.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Okay, are you pro making Thanos look like Josh Brolin? I am not.
I think I'm okay with it.
I would have just kept what he looked like before. I wouldn't have messed with the look, but I guess they're doing the motion capture and all that. And I like his voice as a bad guy, though. That deep Josh Brolin voice. It'll be good. It'll be good. I'm very excited about that one. Matt, any other movie stuff you want to talk about?
You know I don't see a ton of movies.
No, I don't. So let's just move on and do the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, women's volleyball is headed to the Sweet 16.
Sweet 16, baby.
They're ranked number 7th now. They're somehow were the 13th seed, which I think the NCAA is terrible at seeding teams, but we already knew that. They will play number 4 seed... Kentucky, at Kentucky, this Friday. Game is on at noon Eastern time. The game is on ESPNU. Kentucky was 23-8 this year, 17-1 in the SEC. SEC speed, I believe, is what Kentucky has. And the only other matchup ever was in 1990. So I don't think it's relevant.
So yeah, that's going to be relevant.
BYU won, by the way.
Then it's super relevant.
If they are able to beat Kentucky, they would play, I believe, the next night, if I'm not mistaken, against unseeded Colorado, or more likely number 5 seed Nebraska, 28-4. Nebraska's on a 15-game win streak, Matt. So, but we'll see. They got to first take care of the Wildcats.
But Kentucky Wildcats.
Kentucky Wildcats. So let's take them down, Cougars. So that'll be fun. Matt, unfortunately, I'll be at work, so I don't know that I'll catch much of that. Matt, let's do Cougars in the pros with a first pick in the NFL draft.
Boo! Sit down, Goodell.
The San Francisco 49ers do not select because they now have Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback. Are the Patriots going to regret letting him go, do you think?
Nope.
I think they are. He's the next Brady.
No, he's not.
We passed our chance. It's all gone. It's mediocrity gonna be okay. Now for the Patriots till forever.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying stuff at this point. So
yeah, that's not the worst thing that happened to the Patriots this weekend.
The worst thing that happened to the Patriots was Gronkowski acting like an idiot.
Yes, like a child.
Like, give me a freaking break, dude. Like, I'm sorry, did the guy take your puppy and now you've got to cheap shot him? I mean, good gravy.
The guy was on, cheap shot some guy from the back of the head while he's on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah,
get me wrong. I love the Patriots. I love Gronk, but that's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
Stupid.
There's just despicable.
And you get suspended, and you should get suspended. And quite frankly, I felt the same way earlier when was it Trevathan had that a hit like this. I thought he should have been, and I'll go on record with Gronk. I think it should be more than one game. I don't think one game's enough. It's ridiculous to me that they get you can get one game, though they don't do this anymore. Or fined for wearing the wrong cleats, but you cheap shot some guy in the back of the head and it's like one game. I can't stand that stuff. So anyway, not the worst thing, as you said, but good news out of the NFL. Jamal Williams looked awesome.
Yeah, that's a full-grown man right there.
And I think he will be getting 20-plus touches a game for the rest of the season.
He's their starting running back. He's the man now.
He is the man playing quite well and had it almost all on the ground this Sunday. But somehow, Matt, he was eclipsed on Sunday by his former teammate, Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill, special teams MVP. What? What, Matt? Taysom Hill, kickoff and punt coverage?
Hilarious.
Making tackles? Rushing down the field and being the fastest guy on special teams? What? Chase Blyle on Twitter, that's at Chase Blyle, says, what about Taysom getting it done? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag climb on in. Matt, what do you make of this? I mean, you watch the game, you live in the Narlands area, in an area where they cover the Saints quite religiously. See what I did there? Religiously.
I see what you did there. Very it's funny. Funny.
We are terrible today with the jokes. Matt, what was your take on this? Was this something people knew was happening, or did this come as a surprise when you were watching the game?
I think there was some report of it maybe Sunday morning, but I don't know that anybody was really paying attention to what the third string quarterback was going to be doing on special teams. Until he actually got into the game and it became a story, right?
Yes, yes.
I was watching the game. Not that I watch football on Sundays, but I was watching it on DVR later.
Yeah, this morning.
But I was watching the game and I had the sound down because I was doing something with my kids while the game was on. And I look up and I see Taysom Hill jump up from making a tackle. And bouncing around, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? That jersey say Hill on it? So I rewound and turned the sound back up, but that's pretty awesome. I mean, yeah. But he wanted to see the field.
Yes, he wanted to see the field. And he not only saw it, Matt, he was like, I mean, he made it happen. You know? He made it happen. So I don't know. It's kind of amazing to me. And Sean Payton's the look on his face.
Oh, he was like a kid at Christmas. He was more excited than Taysom was.
It was amazing. It was amazing, Matt. I it was pretty cool. So then the announcers basically said, and so who's the announcing team? It was
Joe
Buck
Buck and
and Aikman, right?
yeah.
They basically said that he was the quarterback of the future. Sean Payton today has come back and said, no, let's slow the roll there, Matt. But is it possible that Peyton Hill's going to become a starting NFL quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. I mean, if he's, listen, we all know that a healthy Taysom Hill has got that type of potential,
Yeah.
right? And but for him, it's going to be all about staying healthy. I don't know that running down kick returners is the best way to do that, but that's what it's all going to be about for him. He's got the potential to do it. He has the raw skills. Just getting in the right split, the right place at the right time.
No, I, you know, what's crazy is I did not think, honestly, that he was going to ever get a sniff of playing quarterback in the NFL. I just thought because of the injuries and things, this just wasn't going to be his thing, right? And he was going to move on and have a happy life doing other stuff. And I was wrong. I was wrong. Right?
Wow. It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
Matt,
It takes an even bigger man to laugh at that man.
that's true. That's true. So, Matt, maybe the most bizarre thing to come out of the Taysom Hill.
Yeah, what you're about to go into is pretty bizarre. So listen up, kids.
So, friend of the podcast, Benjamin Criddle, who's of course an all-star on Twitter, on BYU Twitter, right? He's an all-star on BYU Twitter, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. I would say so.
Now I just lost his tweet. Where's the tweet, Benjamin?
It's all about the Benjamin,
It's all
baby.
about the Benjamin. It's here. I'm finding it. I'm almost there. This is fascinating for the listeners as I'm scrolling his Twitter feed. Anyway, he tweets out this. Okay? Taysom just pulling a page out of the luscious-haired lefty playbook, and then he tagged at Riley Nelson underscore. That's former BYU quarterback Riley Nelson. If you're a backup QB, insert yourself on as many special teams as possible. Okay? So Criddle's just having some fun, right? Then
Yeah, harmless.
some troll says, only unlike Riley, who tried to turn locker room against a better QB, Taysom is a team guy. Now, what is that, Matt? Like, who tweets that back to Criddle? Like, who is that person?
Guy is somebody who has no life.
I just don't understand it. Like, I don't get it. And then Criddle comes back and Riley Nelson replies, Matt. Like, it was crazy. It was crazy. Do you have a favorite moment from basically these guys putting the Twitter troll in his place?
I liked Riley Nelson's. I wish I had as much passion as for anything as this guy does pushing this narrative. Or when Riley Nelson said compared this conspiracy theory to him stealing the plot out of Mean Girls.
Or
That's the highlight right there.
when he said that him and the backup QBs at Kansas and Miami had gotten into a conspiracy
Yeah. Oh,
against Jake Heaps.
you see this all the time, he says. You see it all the time.
Listen, you and I have talked about the Heaps Nelson thing a ton on this podcast, probably
Yeah,
more
I've
than we
been,
should.
listen, and I've been maligned for it, right? I said some ridiculous things at the time about Riley Nelson
Yes, you
that I
did.
regret now.
Yes, you did. I always liked Riley Nelson. I didn't think he was a great quarterback, but I thought he was good. And when healthy, I thought BYU could win with him. This whole thing that basically he's a terrible human being because he wanted to be the starter and he's the backup. That's what a
That's not
backup
even,
is supposed to do.
and it's not even accurate.
No.
He is your ultimate team guy. He knew, and none of us realized what a mess the Heaps situation was at the time. Riley Nelson knew that. He knew Heaps wasn't competitive. He knew Heaps wasn't ready to play, and he went in there with a broken back
I
and
just
played. He is the ultimate team guy.
listen, if
That
you
is
want
a
to
team guy.
if you want to say he wasn't a good enough quarterback, that's fine. right? Like, you could make an argument that Nelson just wasn't good enough for us to have, like, a special season those years. And I'm not going to necessarily disagree with you on that. I will say, though, that this thought that he's terrible and somehow he ruined Jake's Heaps' football career is just, it's just not true, right?
Jake Heaps ruined his own football career.
Or the coaches did, or whatever, right? Like, it can't be the backup. The backup didn't ruin it. And then, and Criddle did go on to seriously respond a little bit and talk about leadership and say the fact that people picked in the locker room, picked Nelson over Heaps. I mean, in the end, if Heaps had played lights out, guess what? People pick him, right? Even if they like Riley better, in the end, everybody picks the winner, right? And
well, they would just want to win.
They just want to win. They just want to win. And I don't know. I just found it that, you know, Criddle's just trying to have some fun about the Taysom Hill thing and a shout out to his buddy Riley, and it turns into this terrible thing. I'm just sitting here like, that's absolutely crazy.
So bizarre.
That's absolutely crazy. By the way, Riley Nelson, all time, is 18th in passing yards at BYU. Jake Heaps is 19th. By the way, their passing efficiency numbers aren't even close to each other. Okay? Riley Nelson had good college numbers, Heaps at BYU and beyond did not.
That's what's crazy about this narrative, right? And I'm not here to pile on Jake Heaps because he didn't pick this fight on Twitter.
No, he didn't.
But I think you've got to objectively look at the fact that the guy went from here to Kansas to Miami.
But the Seattle Seahawks.
And was never a starter.
The Seattle Seahawks, Matt. The Seattle Seahawks thought he could be a starter.
Hey, no. Listen, I hate to take all of the air out of this balloon, everybody. But you got to understand something about these invites to camp.
Like, they're not about, they brought a guy in to run plays, and
they brought a guy in. It was a warm body who could complete a pass of 10 yards down the field when there wasn't a defense coming at him, so that they could look at some other people. And he was local, and Charlie Weiss or somebody else made a phone call and said, hey, like, it's this kid's dream. Can you just bring him into camp? They're like, oh yeah, I mean, you can always use another quarterback in camp because it's basically free.
Right.
So you just bring him in. There was never – nobody was ever looking at Heaps.
I know. And you know, so anyway, this was a bizarre exchange. But going back to Taysom here for a second, Matt. Taysom, this is the only thing. I'll just tie a bow on the Taysom thing. He is probably the best athlete to play football at BYU in my conscious lifetime. All due respect to Steve Young, I don't remember watching Steve Young. He played in my lifetime, but the first quarterback I really remember is Robbie Bosco. But you know, there are others we could talk about. But basically, we said this when he was playing. Hill could have played at a high level three or four different positions on the field. I think he could have been a great linebacker or safety. I think he could have been, well, he already was a running back, kind of, but a great running back. I think he could have been a tight end or a wide receiver.
Right? I wondered if they were going to throw him in at safety when I saw him run around on special teams the other day.
It was kind of cool to see. And, hats off to him and Jamal for having kind of a cool weekend. And Tom Homo tweeted about Michael Davis and Kai Nakua, too. So, you know, a good BYU Cougars in the NFL out there. So, Matt, let's talk about men's basketball, then we'll switch to football. Wins against Utah Valley and Utah State this past week. Matt, let's talk about these individually here for a second. Obviously, neither of these are upsets. They should have won both of these games. The Utah Valley one is a revenge game, Matt. After the loss last year, they blow out the Wolverines in Ogden, and all the jokes afterwards about I'd rather, what were the jokes about Ogden and Provo? I'd rather something in Ogden than.
I'd rather lose and live in Provo than win and live in
Ogden.
Yes,
yes, yes. So they tried to reverse some of those. It's complicated. Obviously, Childs had a massive game. They didn't have anybody that could defend him. But the big guy that come out was McKay Cannon, and his 20 minutes after becoming eligible, the Weber State transfer. So that was kind of a cool story. So anything else you want to take away from that game before we talk about the Utah State game?
No. I'm ready to talk about the Utah State game because I have a question.
You want to ask it now, or you want me to do the recap first?
Go ahead and do the recap first.
Okay. So the Utah State game was closer. BYU did not play well in the first half offensively, and still led by 4, ends up winning by 9, and being in control pretty much the whole game. But you know, Utah State was in it. But you know, the thing was, Childs had a good game, 17-8. Bryant doing Bryant things this year, 15-6, but did end up fouling out. But McKay Cannon, 31 minutes, okay? And they are basically, at this point, playing 4 perimeter players and 1 big, okay? At this point, with the way, if this Cannon thing is going to be 17 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, hit all 8 free throws, Matt, 4 of 5 shooting from the floor, and they end up winning. And TJ Haas continues his struggle, just 2 of 9 shooting from the floor, though he did add 6 rebounds and a couple steals and a block. Matt, so what's your question?
So did I see that right, that the fans, the student section in Utah State, held up a sign at the game that said, "And welcome to hell"?
Yes. See, I think what they were trying to do is say it's really hard to play here. We're great fans. But the problem,
it sounded like they were passing judgment on their own town and campus.
Well, I've been to Logan. It's rather pleasant. I wouldn't call it hell.
I've heard very nice things about Logan in Utah State.
I've been to Laramie. If they held up the sign there, I would just nod.
Yes. That is an accurate description of where I am right now.
Yes.
I've never met somebody who went to Utah State who just liked it there.
I haven't either. I've been there several times. I really like Logan. It's a pretty campus.
So then why are these students so down on it?
I don't know.
It's very strange.
Maybe they just didn't get in at BYU and are a little bitter.
Oh, did you really just say that?
Of course I did.
If
they're going to hold up that stupid sign, then I get to make a stupid joke in response.
Oh, it is a stupid sign.
Come on. And the other thing is, the thing they were chanting was, "Where is Emery?" Really? That's all you got? I mean, this is the group that made fun of through sexual jokes at former BYU players.
What are they going to do next? Dress up like missionaries?
I mean, come on.
Because most of them have got name tags.
Yeah, that's right. They just got to bring it out of the old scrapbook.
Come on, people, guys.
Do they still?
Where is Emery? So not only did they make a bad sign, they also haven't read a local sports page in several months.
They couldn't even find a roster.
We all know where Emery is.
Yeah, we all know where Emery is.
Well, I don't know exactly where he is.
Driving around. We're both gonna make the Jetta joke, weren't we?
Oh, the Jetta joke. It's pretty sweet, right?
I forget who did on Twitter, and I'm sorry for not giving him credit, but somebody tweeted out after the Utah State game that McKay Cannon had played well enough to get himself a Jetta.
It's pretty sweet, right? It's my 2009 Jetta.
2009 Jetta, 115,000 miles on it, baby. All right.
I get 25 miles per gallon on this hog.
So next up is Illinois State and Weber State. But before we preview those games, Matt, let's jump on back into the tweet bag.
Let's climb on in.
Climb on in. This is from Johnny Ashton on Facebook. And by the way, if you want to climb on in the tweet bag, you can do so via Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout and use the hashtags tweetbag and hashtag climb on in. Both are just one.
Use the hashtag.
People are doing it. I can't stop it. I can't
Love
stop
it.
The momentum.
Love it.
Facebook and Facebook.
I invented a hashtag.
Yeah, you did something. Facebook.com/RiseAndShout, or we'd have one of these later, a couple of them later. Old-fashioned email, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, one word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Okay, so Johnny Ashton on Facebook says this: will canon match or even exceed the void left by Imri this year? Imri may have a higher ceiling, but that came with a low valley on his off shooting nights. If canon can be consistent, he may be an better overall contributor. Matt, do you think that McKay Cannon, and of course we are jumping on the hype bandwagon after two games against...
Yeah, against, you think?
Not terrible teams, by the way. Utah Valley and Utah State are decent teams, right? So it's not like he did this against Mississippi Valley State. These are better teams. But do you think it's possible that he can step in and give what Emery gave last year?
Guys, let's slow your roll a little bit.
The answer is yes, Matt. Emery didn't give that much last year.
Okay, here we go.
He didn't. He was just okay last year. I think McKay Cannon can possibly deliver that. I don't know that it's likely he's better than Emery last year, but I think it's, I don't know, 30% possible, 25?
No, listen, I understand why we're excited about this, right? He's 4 or 5 from the floor, 8 for 8 from the charity stripe, and hit the three-pointer that he took against Utah State, right? You know, so I understand why we're excited about this, and he played a lot of minutes.
You hate McKay Cannon.
I'm just saying it's a little early. It's a little early.
He has the name of he's got like double apostle names.
That is pretty sweet.
I mean,
he had no choice but to come to BYU.
Yeah, I mean, he had to transfer. It was a given. I get what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. We gotta like slow down on this guy. It's only two games, and Emery, if you remember, you pull out a 2-game stretch of Emery. He's got a better 2-game stretch than McKay Cannon has at this point, right? So relax. I think what I'm enjoying more about the McKay Cannon experience so far is that, and we'll get to TJ Haws here in a minute, Haws is not playing well. And this, not shooting well, mostly. I mean, he's passing well and rebounding, but he is not shooting well. And I think right now, McKay Cannon is giving us a spark where maybe TJ Haws could have been playing. You know, I mean, they're playing at the same time, but you know what I'm saying, role-wise, contributing on there. But in the end, do I think that McKay Cannon has a higher ceiling? Now, obviously, Johnny is not saying that. Then Emery, absolutely not. I don't think Cannon has that type of ceiling. Matt, do you think right now, by advanced statistics, he is the best player on BYU? Does he finish as one of the top 4 players at the end of the year, McKay Cannon?
I feel like, well, it's kind of the same. Is that the same question? Nah, maybe not.
No, because he could be top 4, but still not as good as what Emery provided last year.
Right, so I think this is where you're kind of finding the happy medium, and I'd be willing to settle into that. That's a possibility.
I think it's a possibility.
He's going to be a contributor.
Because right now it's Bryant and Yoeli Childs are the two best players on the team, right? After that, I don't know who the third best player is on the team right now. If you look at advanced stats, they would say probably Dalton Nixon is the next guy on that list. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because Haws has played, I mean, his shooting percentage is so low that his other contributions are getting way overshadowed here, Matt. So I think it's possible that he could end up in that top 4. Tim Jacobson on email asked this: this defense continues to impress. Do you still believe BYU will drop 2 to 3 conference games? It shouldn't. Is it believe it when you see it, or is there something that convinced you before conference play starts? Matt, it's believe it until I see it in conference play.
Yeah, even with these last couple of games, if I look at the games we have left before conference play starts, I don't know that they're, even if you put a string of certain of that, you know, strong defensive performances together here, I still feel like when we get into conference play, I'll believe it when I see it. There's still a couple of games out there that we probably should win that we could drop.
Yes, and I think the big litmus test is you got to win these two games this week, because Illinois State and Weber are decent teams. Okay, they're kind of like, you know, upper middle of the pack West Coast Conference teams quality wise, maybe even a little better, actually. So you need to win these games. The other one is Utah, except they don't have a great offense. They're a defense first team. So I think it's going to be a little bit different, you know, to see, you know, it's going to be a little bit different. But that's the one that if they won, maybe I feel a little bit different, Matt, than I do today. But even then, I don't believe they're good enough to not drop a couple of games they shouldn't in the middle dog days of the conference schedule. Matt on Twitter, Chase Blyle, at Chase Blyle, asked this. Twice again, Yoli's a stud. It's true. Haas seems to be fading. Thought on Haas' future and role, hashtag tweetback, hashtag climb on in. Matt, any thoughts on TJ Haas and what his role might look like as we go through, especially with the slump that he has been on?
I think that TJ Haas is going to have a diminished role on this team the way it looks like right now. And I think McKay Cannon is a guy that we've been talking about that's going to come up and start taking up some minutes. Dalton Nixon has been playing really well. I think at some point, if TJ Haas can't get out of this slump, he will see a diminished role on this team going forward because there's too many other guys stepping up and putting the ball in the bucket. I don't know that his contribution and other parts of the game are going to be enough to make up for that when you look at what some of these other guys can do.
I think you're wrong. I think he will take less shots. He's not. His minutes are still over 30.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing other things. He is right now like second on the team in rebounding, leads the team in assists, not turning the ball over at the same rate he was last year. I think the shooting will eventually come back. I think he's too good of a shooter to shoot this poorly. I think the number of shots he takes will go down. I don't think he'll be double digits until he starts doing that, starts hitting them. But I don't think it's going to be reduced. I don't know who else. Like right now, would you rather have playing minutes besides him?
I'm not sure, right? But if I just look at straight statistical comparisons,
yeah,
I can get half those rebounds back with McKay Cannon, with better shooting and without the turnovers.
Maybe. And if Celius was playing well, which he isn't, see, that's what no one's asking about. Celius has been worse than his freshman year, which is bizarre, right? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the coming back from the injury, coming back from a mission. I don't know, but. But Celius and Haas right now are not right? They're not the players we thought they would be, which in some ways makes me hopeful because I think Bryant and Childs are exactly who we thought they were going to be. Maybe Bryant a little better. Nixon has been a pleasant surprise. And if Celius and Haas were to play better, well, that makes this offense seem a lot better than it does today, right?
Yeah, and depending on how this configuration of who steps up and does what works out, I mean, it could cause Coach Rose to do some different things with the lineups.
Yeah,
and go and give us some different looks because he's going to look for an opportunity to put the players, the five guys on the floor that are going to win, that are going to bring home a win.
Yeah.
So do I think it's possible that that results in some diminished time, diminished role for somebody like a TJ Haas for some period of time? Yeah, with the way that he's playing right now, I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, could be. Matt, the games this week, a home game against Illinois State and then a neutral game in Salt Lake against Weber State. Illinois State is 4-4. They've got losses to Charleston, Southern Nevada, Boise State, and Florida Gulf Coast. They have beaten South Carolina, Tulsa, They beat Tulsa twice. Oh, that's embarrassing, Tulsa.
So there's Matt, a lot of things that Tulsa has to be embarrassed about.
Some of the computers like Illinois State, some of them don't. It's early, yet they're probably not a great team. Certainly, maybe, as I said before, a middle of the pack. I'm going to call this a win at home for the Cougars without getting too much deeper.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
All right, so let's move on to the Weber State game. Maybe a little bit more interesting in-state rival. They, on the other hand, are 4-3 so far. They've got losses to Iona, Bradley, and Fresno State. They don't really have a great win either, though. I guess Utah State's the best win they've got in a close game in Ogden. Matt, I don't think they're great, but I do think they have both Illinois State and Weber State have some quick guards that could give us trouble, but maybe that's a thing of the past with Hartnett and some of the defense we've seen on the perimeter. But I think BYU takes down the Wildcats as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I don't know that I'm as concerned about the quick guards as I would have been with some previous teams. I do believe BYU wins this game. But the thing we got to watch out for here is this is a team that can score some points.
Yes.
Now, they've cracked 100, what, twice now, both against teams you've never heard of, right?
But if you look, they're still doing it.
Right, and if you look across their schedule, I mean, they're losing games where they scored 70 points.
Yeah. 60,
you know, they did that a couple of times.
Yeah. Four guys in double figures. They've got Jarek Harding at almost 19 points a game. He's shooting 54% from behind the arc. Breckett Chapman, 14 points, 53% from behind the arc. I'm with you. This is a team that could put up a lot of points, and the way BYU loses this game if they lose control of it defensively.
Yep.
You know, that could be an issue, and they play pretty good defense.
Or just shoot poorly, right? I mean,
yeah.
You got to keep up with the 70 points.
You're going to have to score. I mean, even if a good defensive game against these guys is not, you're not going to hold them to you're not going to hold them to 59, 62 points. Like you said, you're going to have to score 75 probably to get it done, and maybe more if they get hot. So that's what's coming up. And obviously, beyond that, Matt, we've got that Utah game looming a week from Saturday night that's going to be potentially, besides Alabama, the best out-of-conference game that BYU has this year, and a chance to bring revenge on Voldemort.
Voldemort.
Big pansy.
We call him Voldemort.
He's such a pansy. And the media keeps repeating this garbage about how Emery's punch ended the series for a while. No, Utah's cowardice ended the series. All right, Emery's punch didn't do that. Punches happen all the time, right? I mean, fights and pushing and rivalries happen. It's a bad thing. We said at the time, it was a terrible decision by him. But let's just be very straightforward, okay? On what it really is.
Yeah, stuff like this happens, and people continue to play each other.
Yeah, this isn't like...
It was a total cheap shot, but it is not what ended it.
Yes, fans didn't rush on the court and start, like, brawling. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is not one of those situations. All right,
so... Voldemort and his magic wand.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he's just a chicken. He couldn't fight Harry Potter. Matt, football. Let's talk football. Tim Jacobson had this to ask of us. Can we get a petition to block Gordon Monson from the CougarFan.com website? He is so anti-BYU and everything it stands for. Just because he writes about BYU does not make him a BYU media guy. He's a full-blown hater. I am serious about the petition. I will never click on another link of his again. Let's send a message. Matt, we have no control over the CougarFan.com website. And they pretty much pick up whatever is being written about BYU.
Yeah, I think that's some kind of algorithm. I think it's a robot that collects and posts
Correct. I believe that is correct. I will say this. I have stopped. After the last time we talked about him, I'm done. I'm just not clicking on him anymore. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to take the bait. I'm not going to get all fired up. So Tim, I'm with you. I'm out. Matt?
Yeah, he's got nothing useful to say, Gordon Monson character.
Yeah, he's just gonna get me all riled up on stuff. But Matt, everybody still wants to talk about the offensive coordinator situation, so let's do it some more.
Let's do it.
All right, so Gary Payne on Twitter, that's @FastBreakGP, says this: any additional thoughts or insights on offensive coordinator next year after another week of pondering. Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag painbag. Matt, any additional thoughts? We talked about it a lot in the last episode. Any thoughts for you on this?
Not really. I mean, I think we pretty much covered it. I am intrigued by something that we're going to get to here in a second with, you know, some of the, a name or two that have been thrown out that we didn't list. But I mean, I think we're still, you know, it's still kind of very much in a limbo thing. You think they're going to name one in the next week? I think last week we both said we thought it'd be about 14 days. You think they do it this weekend?
I think by our next podcast, we're talking about the new offensive coordinator. I think they do it before Christmas, right? Like you want, part of the thing is because of this, of getting rid of Detmer that early, you have the chance to go jump before the bowl teams are done, right? And there are offensive coordinators who are going to get let go after bowl games, right? And BYU has a chance to go in and get somebody before. I think if you wait too long, you lose your potential advantage of, here's an offer, Mr. So-and-so, take it or leave it, right? And they got to take it now. So I think so. I mean, but it's not a given. I don't know what they're doing with the process. And quite frankly, a week into it, do you see any articles by the BYU Press with like leaks of what the process looks like?
Nope.
Nothing. Like tight. They are not so.
Nothing about who they're talking to, who are they really thinking about.
Nothing.
I feel like mostly all we read about now is, hey, you know, this guy said he was interested, and here's the same list of a handful of names that everybody knows.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. So on that note, Deseret News had an article this week about Snow Coach Paul Peterson, who we did talk about last week a little bit, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
We did.
Jeff Call in the Deseret News quotes him as saying this, okay? There are so many things you can't control. Yes. Yay. Yeah. Yay. Did I say yay? Am I reading the scriptures?
Yay.
Yeah, of course. I would love the opportunity to be there with the experience I've had and hopefully add value to the BYU program if that was an option. Kalani's got a big job ahead of him trying to find someone who's going to be a good fit. I'm really flattered to be considered among all the options that he has. It would be a great opportunity for my family and for myself. And then he goes on to reiterate that Peterson said he has not contacted, BYU has not contacted him, but he has communicated with coaches on the staff. So that was an interesting piece of it, Matt. They are averaging 50 points and 536 yards a game this year, Snow College is. Matt, is this weird for him to be expressing interest, or is this just kind of one of those things?
I think it's kind of one of those things. It's not weird. I mean, come on. The guy's the head coach at Snow. He's not going to stay there forever. He's a young guy. What is he, 37?
Well, and he gets called by a reporter and asked directly about the opening, right? So,
and if you were him, what do you, what if let's just take his comments at face value, right? He hasn't been officially contacted by the school about his interest. He probably is friends with a couple of guys on the staff somehow or whatever, right?
Sure.
So he's had some of those conversations. But if you're asked that question, you can't say to the Deseret News reporter, no, I'm not interested.
Right.
Right? Because then you just told BYU, oh, well, don't worry. Don't even think about calling him because he's not coming. Like, of course he has to say he's interested. He wants them to call.
So him and Elisa Tuiaki were teammates at Snow. Okay? His older brother, Charlie, was a quarterback on the teams that Kalani Sitake played on. And he, you know, played against Reno Mahe and other people that are on the staff, etc. So, and he played with Ben Cahoon in the Canadian Football League. So, MP was the head coach when he was, I mean, it goes on and on, right? The point of this is to say, it's not a shocker that he's talked to his friends who happen to be coaches at BYU. And is he a candidate? I don't have any idea. We talked about it last week. He's probably not my first choice, but I don't think he's a ridiculous choice. So, you know, we'll kind of go from there, I guess. Any other thoughts on Paul Peterson?
I mean, he's got some college experience, calling plays. You know, not obviously at the same level, but so I think that when you look at, if we're realistic about what the options are, I mean, he does check some of the boxes.
Yeah, yeah. So the other name that got thrown out that we did not discuss last week at all, because quite frankly, I didn't really think his name would get thrown out in any serious way, but Derek Stevenson, also a former BYU player and former and current BYU Twitter personality, says that BYU should be considering Steve Sarkisian as the offensive coordinator. Matt, there's so many problems with this. I can't even start. We didn't talk about him last week because I thought this is ridiculous. He's not gonna. I mean, it's not going either way, right? Am I crazy?
I think the odds of BYU hiring Steve Sarkisian to be the offensive coordinator are extremely low, but I don't know that I don't think they're zero.
They're zero. They're totally zero. He's an NFL offensive coordinator.
Hey, they went after you know, but he this could be their, he's, but Sark isn't going to become, I don't think Sark's next job is an NFL head coach.
Maybe not, but here's the thing, okay? If you're Sark, you were the offensive coordinator at Alabama, okay?
He was like an offensive consultant.
He was a consultant, and then he was in the bowl game the coordinator, okay? After Lane Kiffin proved to be Lane Kiffin, right? And he's now an NFL offensive coordinator. The question for everybody in, for him becoming a head coach, is personal stuff, right? And going to BYU and being the offensive coordinator there and living the kind of life you have to live at BYU, I guess, right, would prove some of that as he tries to maybe get back to be a NCAA football head coach. I can't imagine that in the middle of a playoff run that this is what Sarkisian, I wouldn't be shocked if somebody reaches out to him. I don't think he's going to be interested in coming back. I mean, can you imagine how some BYU fans would react because of what happened at USC? If I'm him, I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of it. Well, I don't know. You obviously think a little bit differently.
Well, see, here I'm clouded by it, right? I mean, I'm biased because I love Steve Sarkisian.
Yes, yes.
And I want Steve Sarkisian, and I want Steve Sarkisian to be successful.
Yes,
I want him to crush it wherever he goes.
Yes,
and it would be really cool for him to come and crush it on the BYU staff for a while, and then go get a head coaching job somewhere again, and be able to come full circle and beat back those demons and get back to where he was before things went south for him. That to me would be just one of the ultimate redemption stories of all time, and it would be really cool if part of that journey brought him back through Provo. And because I think that he is a very good offensive coordinator, I think he's a very good offensive mind, and I think we could have some real success with somebody like that on the staff. Now, do I think he probably made as much or more as an offensive consultant at Alabama than what we're going to pay an offensive coordinator, right? I don't know that we can compete with the money. And there's some freedom with working in the NFL that he would lose if he came to Provo.
Oh, I mean, the money difference between what he's making on the Falcons and what he would make in Provo is massive.
Is it worth it to turn all that around and to turn that away? You know, do you sit and you sit as an offensive coordinator with this Falcons team for a while and then look for a different kind of an opportunity? I don't know. If I'm Sark, I probably am not interested.
Yeah,
but
it
would be so awesome.
I know you feel that way, but you know the Falcons are the eighth ranked offense in the NFL right now. I just can't imagine if he. I think if he comes back, I mean, this was a guy that interviewed for NFL head coaching jobs, right? I don't know that his path isn't an NFL head coaching job. I'm just saying it could be. Now, to be fair, they are 7-5 and not quite as good offensively as they were last year, but I don't think he's coming. Matt, the other name that keeps getting thrown around a lot now is Oklahoma coach The Oklahoma coach, now I can't find his
Simmons?
Name.
Simmons. His name Simmons?
Dennis Simmons. Matt, have you changed your mind on him? Last week you were a little cold because he hasn't called plays at the college level. Do you feel any differently? There seems to be some, at least among fans and people covering the team, some momentum behind Simmons and his pedigree.
I feel like Simmons is kind of one step away from the type of guy that we're looking for here. I'd like to see somebody who has some offensive play calling experience, notably. Notable offensive play calling experience.
Robert and I didn't have that when we hired him. He was the offensive coordinator for some pretty good BYU football teams. Just saying. I know how much you love Dr. Nye's play calling.
I miss Dr. Nye's play calling. As much as I hated it at the time.
Anyway,
I don't know. Had Nye been like a running game coordinator or something somewhere? What did he do for Leach?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look what he did for Leach. I'd have to go back and look. I mean, he was, of course, part of. Yeah, let's see. I think it's actually in here. He spent 4 seasons as the offensive line coach when Leach took it, and then I don't know. I don't know if he was running game coordinator or not. It doesn't say here in this article. I'd have to dig. But anyway, all right. Matt, one last football note before we talk about the college football playoff to finish. Football attendance this year, according to the Deseret News, was the lowest it has been since the stadium expansion in 1982. So they talk about the big game that was low, which was the San Jose State game with only 46,451 announced attendance. That was the lowest game since the previous record was Tulane in 2001. UMass has the distinction of being the team that appears them and UNLV twice on this list, and they're the last 2 seasons. So apparently UMass is not a big draw. But Matt, you look at this, there's a trend in this graph. Basically, since 2006, we are trending downward in attendance. We could go into a lot of this. Matt, how worried are you about the attendance dip at BYU?
I'd say it's a concern. You can't ignore it.
Well, you can ignore it. I don't know if it's probably a good idea.
I guess you can ignore a lot of things, but it's ill-advised, right? You've got to figure out that is the prime time where you're, kind of injecting this loyalty into the school and the program and stuff. And is when people are students, and that's a big deal. I think the student section looks okay, but you've also got to get the local community around you.
Yeah, yeah. So a couple things point out in this article that I think are worth noting. The author of the article is Jody Ganesi, if I'm saying the last name right. That low game is in line with the average attendance of the following schools, actually higher, okay? Indiana, Minnesota, Stanford, Rutgers, TCU, Illinois, Baylor, Pittsburgh, Utah, Colorado, and Cal. So I'm with you. Down is bad. But let's not fly the. We're 11,000 more in average attendance than a lot of these schools, and I get it. Utah's case, they're selling out, but their stadium's too small, right? But then they point out that Utah State averaged 19,000, Duke less than 30, and of course we get dwarfed by places like Penn State, A&M, Ohio State, who might draw more for a spring game. But I'm with you. This should concern Tom Homo and them. Do you think there's a factor of here of being able to watch it at home? You know, or is this more of a factor of there's just a every because of the independent schedule, you're going to have some really terrible games at home.
That's really what happens, is you end up, especially in the back half of the season, with games like UMass, and people have things to do, and their kids are in activities, and there's not a, it's not a, and it's better than it used to be, and admittedly, I've not been to a game in Provo in a couple of years, but we, the whole culture around what happens on game day in and around the stadium is just not the same as other places.
I think it's gotten better, though.
Yeah, I agree, but it's not, I mean, even at Purdue, right, like when the team's not good, you've got rows and rows and rows of RVs that roll in the night before the game.
I think it's equal to Purdue's now. I just think you haven't been to a game in a long enough time. You look at the pictures now. Purdue's not that great. I mean,
dude, they have that whole golf course packed with tailgaters.
Yeah, and a lot of time it's Wisconsin and Ohio State tailgating there. But I get your point. I think if you went now, there's a whole parking lot of tailgaters at BYU. I think the you know, we've been to places like Notre Dame though, and nothing like BYU, Purdue. It's amazing, right? And in theory, BYU should be able to pull something like that off with our fan base. It should be like Notre Dame, right? The pregame experience. That's what you're saying, right? It should be elite, and it's not. It's not elite.
Well, I'm not saying it has to be LSU, right? Because this is on a whole other level. I've never seen anything like this.
I'm saying it could be more like here. Like a Notre Dame or, you know, pick other...
We could do the Notre Dame look.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it could be big. All right, Matt. So we're not going to do our bowl preview this week because the bowls don't start till next week. So for those of you that are new to the show, every year we pick every bowl game,
okay? Every single bowl game.
So Matt, let me just say this: are you super excited for Virginia versus Navy?
Yes.
The coach that got away and the coach that potentially got away.
Isn't that funny? I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
Well, the coach that got away and the coach that got away. I mean, talking about both of them.
Right.
Obviously, Ken, if you believe the way it went down in the press last year, was the first choice of Tom Homo and team, and he decided to stay at Navy, and obviously Bronco Mendenhall left, not fired, left on his own, right? So that's what I say. Coach that got away. All right, Matt, now we have a college football playoff.
Playoff?
And hey, by the way, are you excited that Herm Edwards is back coaching football?
Yes.
And by the way, I think it's a terrible decision and it's going to end terribly.
Yeah, but it's really going to be bad.
Super excited for it. I'm super excited for it.
I like Herm Edwards.
I like it too.
But Arizona State, like, this is really, like, I don't know. Opportunities come knocking?
Did you hear that he's going to be like a CEO, not really a coach?
Oh my gosh. Like, this is just getting worse. The more anybody talks about it, the worse it gets.
It's fantastic. It's just awesome. Thank you, Arizona State. It's just so good. It's so good. So anyway, college football playoff, isn't that what we were talking about?
Yeah, we were. Then we got into the Herm Edwards ridiculousness. All of this weird stuff around his opening press conference. Yeah, a couple of weird press conferences for new coaches this week.
Yes.
Jimbo Fisher in College Station wasn't real good. Didn't go real well either.
Well, how about this? How about this, Jimbo Fisher? You cannot complain at Florida State about not having enough support. Here's the thing. You took more money, and you maybe didn't like the people you worked for. And you can't, I mean, you don't want to say either of those things, I guess. But anyway. So, Matt, here's what the playoff committee said to America, okay? They said this,
We lied to you. We've been lying to you. That's what they said.
Yes. And the other thing they've said is these criteria that they gave us, like that conference championships matter, they don't actually matter.
Clearly not.
So...
Neither did the Iron Bowl.
That's it. They don't matter, Matt. None of this matters. So you look at this, Matt. Ohio State. Do you think they should be in the playoff?
Yep.
Would you take... I'll be honest, I think USC might have as good a resume as Alabama does.
I see no reason that Alabama's in there.
I mean, who's Alabama's signature win? A Florida State team that turned out to not be very good?
Come on.
Who is it? LSU? Mississippi State? They don't
Bama is overrated. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. They're overrated.
They don't have a top 10 win. They don't have a top 15 win. Wait a second. Do they have a top 20 win?
No. Do they?
I don't think so. I'm looking at the list. Okay. So you look at Ohio State. Do they have a top 10 win? Yes. Yes, they do have a top 10 win. Do they have a couple of top 20 wins? Yes, they do. Now I get it.
But they didn't schedule Mercer in November. They played a tough team early. They played a tough team late in the year, and they slipped up against Iowa, who's not like, I mean, they're not Mercer.
No, they're definitely not Mercer. But they're not a top 20 team and a 25 team. And what Bama can say is, hey, our worst loss was to our only loss was to a top 10 team. Okay. And that's fair. It's kind of become a joke at this point. So Matt, we're going to talk about what my 16 team playoff would look like.
Ooh, 16 teams. Tell me more.
All right. So in my 16-team playoff, the conference championship champions get in. All of them. All conferences. Okay? So automatic bids are UCF. That's one. Clemson is two. Oklahoma, three. Ohio State, four. Conference USA, that's Florida Atlantic, right?
Yep.
Five. The MAC conference. Who won that one? Toledo? Six?
Is there really a winner?
Boise State, seven. USC, eight. Georgia, nine. And then Troy, 10. Okay? So those are your teams. Okay? Then you have six at-large teams. So who are your at-large teams?
So,
Ohio State.
Yeah, if I get six of them.
And Wisconsin are two of the six.
Well, but Ohio State's already in.
I mean, sorry, Wisconsin and Alabama are two of the six.
Right. Okay, I'll give you Wisconsin, Alabama, 2 years, six. Okay, so who else do you need?
Well, after that, it gets interesting. Three-loss Auburn or two-loss USC's already in. Or two-loss Penn State. Or two-loss Miami. Or two-loss Washington.
I think you stop at Washington, but you have slots for the other three.
Yeah, so there you go. And you would be playing next week, first round. And the top seeds host their game at their stadium.
But Adam, but that would mean you'd have someone in the playoff who didn't win their conference.
That's all right.
That doesn't seem right.
That's all right. But
yes, it's fine. That doesn't bother us anywhere else.
I know. But what if UCF gets a chance against, I don't know, gets a chance as a lower seed to go to Madison and play the Badgers?
Or you put UCF and have them play Alabama and beat them, and then somebody try and tell me that, oh, well, we were just disappointed with the bowl game we got, so we didn't play as well.
It
eliminates that baloney.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun, Matt. I think it would be fun to do an expanded playoff. So let's cut that in half. All right. Let's say that it's eight teams and it's the committee, so they chose the four: Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Alabama. Are you okay just taking their next four and Ohio State, Wisconsin, Auburn, and USC? Or do you think that Penn State or Miami deserve one of those spots over somebody else?
I'm not sold on USC, so I probably go Miami here.
I'd be okay with Miami. I think USC might, as a conference champion, might trump it for me. Because I think the conference championship should mean something.
But see, here's I agree with you. But the thing I like about an 18 playoff, and this was true last year, and it's true again this year, I think you get the right teams in an 18 playoff. Now, you can sit here and say, oh, but UCF, they enjoy a seat at the table just because they worked so hard and they went undefeated. But realistically, we don't really think they're going to win all this, right? We don't really think UCF's going to go a couple rounds deep in an 18 playoff, do you?
But maybe.
But, Miami might. Penn State might.
But if you have an 18 playoff, I think it's okay to take an undefeated G5 team and put them in. I think at that point, you're never going to put them in the four, right? But an eight, you might, a committee might sit there and go, you know what? They beat Memphis twice. It's and Memphis is a good team. I think you might get them in. And that's why I like eight better for all the things you just said. Plus, I think at that point, there is a chance. And maybe UCF is the wrong example. Maybe it'd be a Boise State who played, or UCF. Who played somebody really good?
Who played somebody, right? Right. But my point is this: you put together an 18 playoff here. There, every one of those teams, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, "Yeah, that team's got a shot." You move to 16, you're going to have teams in that group that you know aren't going all the way.
No, but I think that could be okay if you decide, and it would shift the balance of power away from the P5 if every one of these conferences, including the Sun Belt, got an automatic bid. And by the way, it's never going to happen because the Sabins and the Harbaughs, all those people, you think they're whiny this week. Imagine if they said, we're going to give an automatic, bid to the college football playoff to the MAC. Can you imagine the coaches' reactions to that? They're never going to happen. But if you really wanted even the field in college football, not completely, but somewhat, you do that. And then all of a sudden it becomes, if I'm a coach, you can get to the college football playoff, maybe I don't want to work for the third or fourth best SEC team. Right? Maybe I do want to go do UCF,
Or go coach Toledo.
Or go coach Toledo. And again, it may not. And if you're a recruit, I don't know if it'll make a big difference or not. Again, I think the deck would still be stacked heavily in their favor. But I kind of like it because it would say that there's not this first class and second class in college football. In college basketball, every conference gets somebody in. I get it, it's 64 teams, but there's also 300-something teams in college basketball at the D1 level. But I'm with you. Eight's probably the right number. 16 is fun in my brain. I don't know if it's actually that. But if it was done, Matt, exactly by the college football playoff rankings, okay? Your first weekend would be Michigan State at Clemson, TCU at Oklahoma, Notre Dame at Georgia, Stanford at Alabama, UCF at Ohio State, Washington at Wisconsin, Miami at Auburn, and Penn State at USC. Tell me right now you wouldn't be watching college football that entire freaking weekend.
Oh, the whole world would shut down. It would be an amazing weekend.
I mean, if they did it just with this committee's rankings from this year, forget about my high-minded, bring in the other teams. It would be an amazing weekend of college football. And just like the NCAA tournament, the best team is actually probably not going to win this tournament, right? Because a lot of times you're going to have the quote-unquote best team on paper, which I think is Clemson, might be Oklahoma, is going to lose somewhere along the lines just because there's more games and there's potential to lose. And a team like USC last year when they were so hot going in to the end of the year could win the whole thing just because they're playing right at the right time, and people might argue that's not as fun. But anyway. All right, Matt. Well, that's been it. That's been it. Good luck, Cougars, this week in volleyball and basketball. And next week we'll be back to preview the Utah game and preview a bunch of bowls and maybe talk about a new offensive coordinator. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for downloading and listening. You can catch this podcast and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. The Bleep the Podcast will be having a couple of new shows in the next couple of weeks. They are recorded. I just need to edit them and get them out on the interwebs. Anyway, thanks for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da